Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I hope everybody's prepared for 2 weeks from today, because 2 weeks from today, we'll be broadcasting live from MGM National Harbor. That is the site of Junkies Poker Open 2019, presented by our very good friends at Potomac Metals. Just go to junkiespokeropen.com for all of your details. But we are going to see everybody that's coming out for JPO in 2 weeks.
All right, time now to talk some movies, some entertainment with Kevin McCarthy, who joins us on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. He is the entertainment reporter for Fox 5. Hey, Kevin.
Good morning, John Paul Flame, John Avil. How are you, sir?
Don't forget Eric Bickle.
Your
biggest fan, sitting here to my right.
What's up, Matt? Hello? What's up?
Yeah. Good to see you guys. How are you guys? Well, I figured Eric was already sleeping. Normally, when the music starts, I would assume he just kind of checks out.
Depends on the movie. I mean, most of the movies you review are terrible. So,
no, I know.
You know,
well, actually, this week, Eric, I mean, oddly enough, we're kind of in a August is kind of a slower month for movies, but these two that I'm about to talk about are definitely, I think, up your alley in regards to interesting.
Really?
Especially one of them, for sure. I think so, personally. But
all right, well, what do you got?
All right, well, I'll start off with Ready or Not. So Ready or Not, this is not the one that I think you'll particularly, I mean, I don't know, you might find this interesting. So this is a fascinating concept. This is a new horror film.
By the way, there's no chance that he's going to go
I don't think he's going to like
there's
it.
There's no chance he's going to go for a movie about hide and seek, which turns to murder.
I think the one that he's going to be interested in is Angel Has Fallen, which I'll get to.
Okay.
But the Ready or Not, this is actually fascinating. So I went into this movie not knowing a lot about it. So I know there wasn't much press done for it. I didn't do any interviews for it. I didn't really know much about it going in except for that it was a horror film. So the basic premise is Samara Weaving is a leading actress. She plays a character named Grace. She gets married to a guy who comes from a very wealthy, rich family that lives in this gigantic mansion, and they've made their money throughout the years and different generations through gaming, like just typical games and like fun things that people play, and like, you know, very, very, like, it just seems like a normal way to make a ton of money in regards to that type of element. So she gets married to the family, and the night of her wedding, she basically learns that the family has to play this game at midnight, that if she chooses a certain card, she will be hunted and tried to be killed before dawn. So the concept essentially is the family believes that they have made some type of deal, or they're different generations, with some type of, I don't know, satanic devil type of concept, and if they don't perform this ritual, that they will all die.
You know who would love this movie, Kevin? Mrs.
Yes.
Bickle. Eric's mom,
yeah.
It sounds like it's right up her alley.
You think?
Yeah, it sounds perfect for her.
But to give some clarification, once she's in the house, she doesn't know about any of this, right? So she is there just thinking that this is going to be a wedding. She's worried about the family liking her, and then she learns that they're playing this deadly game. Now, to give some clarification, it's only based on the card that she chooses. So she's given this box, and if the card is like whatever normal game it would be, this would not be the situation. But if she chooses the hide-and-seek card, that's the game that they have to kill her. And if they don't kill her, something bad will happen to the family. So she genuinely pulls this card, thinking she's playing hide-and-seek for real, and then realizes that they're all carrying murderous weapons and being brutally deadly towards her. So she has to try and fight and survive. Now, the husband, the guy she just married, doesn't want any part of this and didn't want this to happen, but it's kind of, you'll see what kind of happens with the twists and things like that, but it's a fascinating concept. I know it sounds ridiculous and kind of over the top, but for me to see a film come out that's like, just seems original. Now, I'm sure there have been films done like this before or have similar ideas.
Sounds like a localized version of The Purge.
You know what's interesting? The Purge is actually an interesting example that you put out there because, yeah, it's, I guess you could say it's similar, but I guess you're inside of a house, you're dealing with specifically a person who has no idea that this concept exists. I think in The Purge, the world knows, right? It's thing. The people are aware of it, right? They know what's happening.
And by the way, the best hide-and-seek technique, okay, because back in the day, I think I was a silly hide-and-seek player. is to not move around all over the place, and that wouldn't be much of a movie. So you find the hiding spot that nobody can find, and you stay there.
But remember, in her mind, JP, she hides. This is her wedding night. All she wants to do is go back to her room and get silly with her husband.
Yeah, she wants to hit the skins.
No, that's literally what you want. I mean, that's what happens in the film. Like, they go to the room to do that, and then he goes, oh, no, we have to go play this game real quick. So she goes to hide and literally goes, I'm not doing this. This is my wedding night. What the heck am I doing?
All right, it's very convoluted. What was your rating for Ready or Not?
I give it a 4 out of 5. It's very, very, very clever. Very funny. Now, it's funny. I want to say the word funny, because I was getting ready to say funny, and I think that this film, while it sounds horrific, they strike this very interestingly fun tone with it. I would imagine if you compare it to the style and the tone of like something like a Pulp Fiction or a Fargo, where you're dealing with really like disturbing content, but at the same time the characters are saying some very witty things that make you laugh. So in all, as you're watching it, it's a very entertaining and engaging movie, but also very suspenseful and brutal and violent. So they found some really that's a hard tone to strike, and that's what I want to give credit to the directors and the filmmakers. I understand that I probably confused most of your audience because it's a very convoluted plot line. I don't even know if I fully explained it correctly, so I apologize. But it is an amazing, cool idea. So, sorry.
All right, so Angel Has Fallen is the third movie in the series, which started with, I guess, White House Has Fallen, or what was the name of it?
JP, I'm an expert in this series.
Because I get confused. There was White House Down.
Listen, Ricky. Olympus Has Fallen is the original.
Okay.
Followed by London Has Fallen.
Okay.
Now Angel Has Fallen.
Okay.
Come on. You
but there
catch
was
up.
A White House Down.
Yeah, that was with Jamie Foxx as the president and
Channing Tatum,
that's right.
Okay. So it's funny that JP brought that up, because I was thinking about this the other day. All the times in like cinema history where two films have come out that have felt or seemed similar. So I always think back to the one you mentioned, JP, White House Down and Olympus Has Fallen, which came out very close to each other. Then there was Deep Impact and Armageddon, and and The Prestige and The Illusionist. Like I always found that interesting how some of that sometimes happens. But so yeah, Cakes, you're 100% right. Olympus Has Fallen was the first one. That movie was awesome. Did you like that movie?
I thought it was good. I even liked London Has Fallen because I'm a big sucker.
I didn't like London Has Fallen, but I did love Olympus Has Fallen. Olympus Has Fallen was Antoine Fuqua, the guy who directed Training Day, and that was a phenomenally fun action movie. I know a lot of people compared it to Die Hard, but Gerard Butler, it was just a great role for him. I mean, he's Secret Service and trying to protect the president. Very cool idea, but also worked really well on an action scale. London Has Fallen, I didn't particularly care for. Angel Has Fallen is a kind of a step back in the Olympus Has Fallen direction. This is like straight up just awesome action. The problem is that I don't understand why this movie has to be 2 hours. Cut it down by 20 minutes, make it an hour 40, hour 30. Take out all the exposition. There are scenes, Cakes, where they literally explain the plot to you after you've already been shown the plot.
Right.
Like, they just stop and go, oh, wait, hey, audience, you might not have got this. Let me give it to you again. And I'm like, why? Why are you making these decisions? Also, they have these really bad shots sometimes that are CGI that look really, really bad.
Oh,
that were completely unnecessary. Shots that did not need to be in the movie that could have been avoided, and that they wouldn't have had to have bad CGI in the film. Other than that, the action is fantastic. Like when they're in full-blown like shootout sequences or driving sequences, or there's an amazing scene in the beginning where there's a drone attack. So if you're not familiar with the plot to this one, Gerard Butler, he's Secret Service agent Mike Banning. They're out fishing one day with the president, Morgan Freeman's character. A drone attack comes in, kills the entire Secret Service team that's out there with him, except for Mike Banning and the president. He saves the president. But the actual attack is put on Mike Banning. They blame him for it. He's set up for it by some type of villain who I won't give away. So this is why I think, Eric, I think you'll like this movie, because it's like it's action, but also interesting concepts and the idea of like him on the run being blamed for something he didn't do. I just think the movie kind of has that suspenseful element to
What's the name
action,
of it again?
Angel Has Fallen.
Yeah.
All right.
Did you see Olympus Has Fallen or London Has Fallen?
Can't
Eric?
Remember.
He has not seen either.
Say that you were intrigued by this movie? Didn't you watch the trailer?
I can't remember. I haven't been listening too well.
with Gerard Butler and the drones.
Yeah, the drones.
It was scary.
And,
yeah, it was kind of scary.
Scary.
It was so scary.
What's so scary?
Wait. This whole time I'm explaining this, Eric knew what I was talking about.
I did see the trailer.
What were you looking at while he was talking?
Yeah, Eric.
Hold on, Kevin. We want to figure out what Eric was looking at.
Yeah, what are your tabs?
I'll tell you. No, I'll just tell you. Honest to God, what I was looking at. The Hoka One ones are on sale. I swear to God. My buddy sent me a link, and the Hokas, which are usually like $160. Hey, now, Farley gives them to me for free.
Yeah, why is Farley sabotaging the show? What are you doing?
Farley gives it to me for free, but somebody sent me a link where the Hoka One ones, the model I like, are on sale for $30.
What?
And you do love a bargain.
Yeah, and so I'm trying to find, but they're listed in European size, so my brain was exploding because I couldn't find a 12.5.
So you're trying to convert.
I'm trying to convert a European size to 12.5. And Kevin's blabbering about some movie. So,
well, Eric.
Sorry, Kevin.
You know, it's funny. I spent 6 hours in the movie theater yesterday. No, it's fine. I spent 6 hours in the movie theater yesterday to see these movies, but I don't know. It's okay.
Hey, it's for the listeners, it ain't for me.
what was your rating?
I gave it a 4. 3.5 out of 5 for Angels Fallen and a 4 out of 5 Ready or Not. Listen,
I'm a 3.5. I'm not going to see a 3.5.
And by the way, if I'm the studio, I keep cracking these out because I believe London Has Fallen, the budget was like $60 million. It made like $210 million. So I'm just going to keep doing these every 2 or 3 years.
Kevin,
they make a lot of money.
To make a pivot, is there anything new worth watching on Netflix or Amazon?
Netflix.
Okay, I mentioned this to you guys a couple weeks ago, but I finally finished it. It's called The Boys.
Oh, The Boys, the superhero movie.
Yeah, this is an 8-episode series on Amazon. It's R-rated. It is one of the most interesting and intellectual pieces of, like, superhero cinema I've seen. Like, it genuinely raises a lot of interesting ideas, but it's also extremely funny and fun, but also extremely emotional as well. Carl Urban's in it. Jack Quaid, who's the son of Dennis Quaid and Meg Ryan, he's the star of the show. It's really, really well done. It's 8 episodes. And in Eric's defense, by the way, we are in one of the worst months for movies. This is August. I mean, like, in reality, Eric's probably better off doing what he's doing than listening to these movies. But I just genuinely thought Ready or Not was fun, and I think Angels Fallen is an interesting action film. But listen, I'm aware that these movies aren't like big and interesting
Rick,
this week. So,
Have you seen Good Boys?
Oh yeah, I saw Good Boys. Is hilarious. Did you see it, Cakes?
No, that's why I'm asking you about it.
That's the super bad type movie for, but they're younger.
I might see it this
with
weekend.
Seth Rogen.
I need a quick review.
Well, I'm actually glad you brought that up because I'm fascinated to hear what you think, Cakes, as somebody who has kids. Here's the thing. These are sixth graders being put into very extremely R-rated situations. But in reality, if you think back to when you were in sixth grade, that's how your friends talk. I mean, like they're dropping F-bombs or, you know, like it really reminds you of kind of just like how your friends and you talked when you were kids. Not exactly this dialogue, but just the way your friends interacted, the way you were concerned about going to parties or meeting girls or whatever it was. But these are sixth graders. So imagine Superbad being placed onto a sixth grade character and then done on steroids. It's extremely R-rated. Seth Rogen, it's Evan Goldberg. I mean, this is definitely an R-rated movie. At one point in the film, when I watched it, about an hour in, an older gentleman stood up, turned around and screamed diabolical and then took his wife and then left the theater. I was like, what the heck just happened? And then I'm thinking to myself, wait, this guy made it through an hour of the movie. Like the beginning of the film, if that didn't trigger any type of like, oh, this is not the movie for me.
Right.
Like you get out of there. Yeah. But like you sat through an hour.
Yeah, stick it out.
This guy must have been, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it was dark. I mean, I would say 70, 80 years old. I don't know. He looked older. And he goes, diabolical. And then
curmudgeon.
And his wife and him like walked out. And I'm like, dude, you're an hour in. Like, I don't know. The movie is definitely uncomfortable at times because it is weird to see these kids doing these things. But then you got to think about when you were a kid and kind of how you talk to your friends. So, Cakes, I'm curious as a father, what's it going to be like for you to watch sixth graders do the things they do in this movie, like the language they drop, the situations they get in? I think that's fascinating. I would love to get your
I'm
thoughts.
I'm sure
on
I
it.
Will be entertained.
All right,
by
Kevin.
It.
Oh, so you funny. Like the Good Boys, and we got to watch The Boys. I might be reversing it.
Good
on
Boys.
Yes. Netflix is The Boys.
Correct.
Yeah. Now that I'm looking back on. Now that I'm looking back on the segment, I probably completely over-explain that Ready or Not movie.
Yes, you did. I think I explained it before. It's a bride who has to play hide-and-seek for her life.
There you go. It's a lot easier.
I mean, you can do it in one sentence.
I know. I saw both movies last night. I got like 5 hours of sleep, so my brain is still kind of waking up, so I apologize. But thank you for letting me explain it. Yeah.
All right, Kev.
He gave it a four, though. He gave it a 4 out of 5.
It's fun.
A bride who gets married, and then she has to play hide-and-seek for her life.
Yeah.
Old-school horror movie cakes would love this movie.
Yeah, well, that person might be dead, so I don't think I'm going
to
see it.
Cakes, next time I talk to you, next time we are on the air together, I want to know what happened, because you used to love horror movies. Something must have happened. Like, you just don't like them anymore?
I mean, I like certain horror movies, but I mean...
He's mature.
I'm not going to see every movie about a possessed doll.
He knows they're stupid.
That was your thing, though. You used to go every weekend one of those came out. That was your thing.
It's called evolving.
That was five years ago. That was 5 years. It's not like you turned like. It's not like you were 21 and then turned 50. This was five years ago.
He's a complicated guy. He's wearing an Iron Maiden shirt, and yet he loves Taylor Swift.
What's on his Iron Maiden shirt? Is it like an animated Eddie character?
It's the Egyptian theme, my friend. Of course, it's one of the classics.
All right, Kevin, we got to run.
I love Taylor Swift too. I'm with you, man. I love you.
Of course, because she's selling.
That's Kevin.
She's amazing.
You can check him out on Fox 5. Coming up next, we'll get back into the Redskins' third preseason game with Rick Snyder from The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. Go ahead and tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Yes, I am, yes, I am, yes, I am. I'm the man, I'm the man.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. Coming up at 7:45. Give you a chance to win some Nats tickets. 8 o'clock, John Feinstein joins us. Joining us right now on the Memphis Warehouse Hotline, it's our buddy Rick Snyder. 106.7 The Fan and Washington Post Express columnist. Hey, Rick.
Hey, boys. How's it going?
Hello, Rick.
How are you, my friend? Stay up and watch that whole game?
Oh, yeah. Everything's exciting when you're watching it, you know. I thought it was a decent effort. The offense still got a lot to work out, especially on the line. I was a little surprised that D-line gave up as much as it did run-wise.
Mm-hmm.
But, they're not going to do anything in the next preseason game, so you just kind of saw what's there. They're kind of ready.
I was actually excited to see Donald Penn. I've been wanting to see Donald Penn get extended time at left tackle. I'm not a big Dron Christian guy, at least not yet anyway. I know they want to groom the young guy, but I want to win now. So let's play Penn. How do you think he held up?
Yeah, I thought Penn did okay. I mean, Christian, I saw him play, left and right side. Not particularly great at either. He's still a ways away. And Penn will be an okay stopgap player for them.
Exactly.
It's Flowers next to him. Flowers had some good plays and some bad plays.
Right.
That's the key. But, they've had problems at left guard for years. So I guess nothing new there. But Penn, I don't have any hope that Trent Williams is coming back. So I think you put in a stopgap guy for this year and figure it out next year.
Taking kind of a global look at what has gone down in the preseason, would you say they're about what you expected going in? That's, for me, had them, I believe, at 6-10 going in, and there's nothing that's really changed my mind in the preseason.
Yeah, overall. I mean, I had 7-9 when I went through it the other day. Maybe 8-8. I mean, if they stay healthy, they got a puncher's chance of doing something. But I always thought the offense would be a little farther along, but the injuries, have really limited them so much, especially a receiver. So we haven't really seen all that they can do yet. There's some nice talent. I mean, when they have to cut this team to 53, it's going to be some brutal cuts. There's some really nice, talented depth players.
Yeah, I agree with you. I actually think offensively, while they haven't scored points, they have moved the football at times. And I actually think there's some decent depth there. There may not be a bunch of Pro Bowlers there, but I like the receiver depth. I think all those guys can contribute, whoever they end up with. And by the way, I advocate just moving on from Josh Doctson. Let's just end that experiment now. Keep one of these young guys like a Steve Sims instead. And then at the running back position, you know, Geis impressed me. For a guy coming off an ACL, you'd think there'd be some sort of mental hurdle there. Certainly we know there's going to take longer than a year to get all of that burst back, but he looked like he had some burst. He wasn't afraid to initiate contact. He looked powerful. I'm telling you, offensively, it's all going to depend on the quarterback.
Yeah, I think Geis will get 1,000 yards this year, and I think Cam Sims will be their leading receiver in number of catches. I would move on from Doctson too. There's no point in this, and you have some good young receivers.
Right,
and Doctson's going to leave it after the season anyway. What's the point? I mean, he's shown some things, but I would move on. Go ahead. I mean, they have tools here. I mean, it is about the quarterback, and I liked things that I saw by both quarterbacks. I think Haskins is definitely improving by the week.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, is there enough time to get him? You know, if there was like another month of games. Which I hate to say, he might be a starter by opening day. And it's getting closer.
Joined by Rick Snyder, 106.7 The Fan and Washington Post Express columnist. Not all good news as Jordan Reed suffers a concussion. He's in the concussion protocol after that vicious hit that he took last night. If you were in his inner circle, you were one of his handlers, his agent, and he's suffered 7 concussions, when do you start talking about it might be close to the end for you? You just can't keep sustaining head injuries like you have been throughout your career.
Yeah, I mean, that was a direct shot yesterday. What bad luck that happened.
Yep.
If I was in his inner circle and I wasn't worried about making any money off him, which unfortunately most do, it's time to retire, dude. You don't want to be slobbering at age 40. You know, I mean, he's had that many. It's unfortunate. He's a good, talented player. But, man, you know, at 28, he doesn't see it. But I'm telling you, at 40, he's going to see it and wish maybe he'd pull back because the next kill shot could be bad. I mean, look at Muhammad Ali, what happened to him by staying too long. That's the really scary part. And we've talked about CTE to death in the last 5-10 years. This is a classic example of a player who needs to finally say, I've had enough, I need to stop.
Well, you certainly are not going to be able to rely on him. You know, just as we were getting all excited, he was by far having the most impressive camp maybe of anybody by the reports I had heard. And then to go out there and get banged up like that again, it just shows you we can't rely on him. We just can't.
Well, that kind of shot will take anybody out. I mean, that was
sure.
A helmet-on-helmet play.
For sure.
I agree with you. I mean, he looked good in camp, but this has been the history of it. It's not his fault, but – yeah, once again, you're going to be wondering what's up. But I think Sprinkle's looking a lot better, and Vern can still be there. But Jordan, at his healthiest, is a really talented player. I just wonder about this guy's personal safety on what's happening there.
Right.
If you had to guess, is Geis going to be the primary back in week one?
That's a good question. I would say no. I think AP will be. But I don't think it'll take long. AP, how much does he have left? I don't know. In the preseason, we haven't really seen. He had one good long run.
Mm-hmm.
This line has still had its troubles blocking interior-wise, so it's hard to judge guys when they plunge straight ahead. But I think, Gruden likes veterans, I think, more than Rooks. So I think AP will start it, but it won't take long for guys to get this job.
Yeah, it seems like he certainly has the burst. What about defensively? I mean, Landon Collins is flashing all over the place. Love to see that. I think the D-line, while they may have had their moments of struggle last night, I mean, we know what Payne and Allen, those guys, are all about. They're going to be there. Ioannidis, Settle, love those guys. The guy that I'm kind of honed in on, I've been zeroed in on this guy the entire preseason, is Montez Sweat. And while he looks like a monster on the field, I haven't seen that burst, that athleticism, that all the time in the backfield kind of stuff that I've been expecting.
There was a series of 3 straight plays he'd made in the second half. I forget when, but 3 straight plays where you saw what he could do. And I said, okay, getting closer. He needs reps.
Yeah.
He's another one. Is he ready opening day? Probably not, but it won't take long. You know, he's coming. There's lot of really good young talent on this team. Yep.
I know it's
right.
Early, Rick, but I believe the line right now, week one, Skins at the Eagles. Skins are catching 9 or 8.5 points. If you had to bet $100 week one, where do you put your money?
Oh, I'd take $1,000 out of the thing and take the points, I guess.
Yeah, I agree.
You have to take the points. But, wow, that's a lot. I didn't know it was that high. You know, they're not on that circle. The Eagles series with the Redskins always has the craziest plays of the year. Some kind of weird touchdown happens. Somebody unusual wins. More than the Cowboys and Giants games, the Eagles games are the more unpredictable. And, you know, I don't know if they're the killers of the Midway either. So, yeah, I take the points.
Hey, I know you like to talk about the attendance. Let's forget about the preseason because it is preseason. Who wants to deal with traffic? But if you have to predict the home opener for the Redskins, is it going to be worse than it was last year where they didn't sell out against the Colts?
The home opener is the Cowboys, so there's going to be a boatload of Cowboys fans in the stands, I would assume.
I was looking at the season. I think they win the crowd with the majority of the fans in the stadium for the Redskins maybe twice, you know, like Detroit. but I think overall they're going to be outnumbered most of the season. I mean, I just don't see the enthusiasm anymore by the fans. You know, that's why, and you see this a lot now around the leagues everywhere. College is talking about it. I watched the Nats Pirates game last night. There was no one there. Yeah, in between breaks, the Redskins game, I was watching it. I mean, it's everywhere. People are not going to games anymore. But the Redskins, man, it's going to be low attendance again, just like last year. And I would say there'll be more Cowboys fans there.
Well, here's the thing. We know this from experience. It all comes down to winning. If they win, the fans will come.
Oh, yeah. I said that at the preseason game. If this team was the 91 team and they're going to the Super Bowl, this would be pretty full. But America's also changed about going to live events, and that's why the next stadium is going to be much smaller.
It's true.
People just, they, you know, and this new in-game betting that's going to be coming up very soon, people are going to be betting on their phones and all. I mean, I think that further decreases attendance. It may increase TV viewership, but you're going to see an explosion of in-game betting going on. They expect 70% of wagers to be in-game betting.
I know you bet on the horses. Do you like to bet on sports? Do you have that vice, Rick?
No, I find that a conflict of interest to be betting on what you're doing. And I know you'd say, well, what about the horses?
Yeah.
A little bit different industry, and I don't bet a lot on them when I'm covering them.
Yeah.
But I don't think sports writers should ever be betting on games that they cover.
Right. But what about games you're not covering?
I guess you could. But
no,
again, it's a slippery slope. To be involved in that kind of thing when you're in the business.
Right. Gotcha. All right. Well, thank you, Rick. Appreciate it, buddy.
All right, guys. See you.
All right. It's Rick Snyder.
He's getting a break in the weather for his tours in D.C. He does that as well because nobody wants to go on a tour when it's 93 degrees out.
What are they saying?
90% humidity. I think it's supposed to be like in the low 80s today.
A little cooler? Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm hitting the theme park in... It's basically Frederick. Jamsville. You ever been to Adventure Park USA or Adventureland USA?
It's been a while,
but
the yes.
ropes thing up in the...
No. There's one that has a similar name, and I might be botching the name. It's a smaller theme park, like I said, kind of just outside Frederick.
Oh, I've never heard of it.
Yeah, they've got some rickety rides and a go-kart track. I've been there.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
It's been there a long time.
I think it's been there a pretty long time.
I'm surprised that my kids have never been out. Maybe they have been, and I just haven't. You know, yesterday afternoon I went on the Popeyes quest again. I got a tweet.
You're thirsty for that Popeyes.
I just gotta try it. I just want to try it once. Okay, I'm a lemming. I'm a moron. I want to try it once.
Yeah.
You know me. I always get the grilled chicken, but I'll make an exception. I'll try the stupid sandwich that everybody says is so amazing.
Swept up in the mania.
So one of our guys, that guy Matt Chang, who listens to the show, I assume that's his real name. That's his name on Twitter.
It's a lock. He's going to be a Junkies Poker Open.
He's always there.
I bet everything I own on it.
He's the one that actually took the photograph of Cakes running around in his underwear at the Borgata, I believe.
He is the one. Yes.
Yeah.
Thanks. Thanks a lot for that.
But he tweeted us around 11 o'clock that he was in Rockville. And there was only like three people in line, and his sandwich looked amazing. It did look amazing,
right?
It was this big, fat piece of chicken, and I went.
It enticed you.
I'm like, well, that's literally 10 minutes away from my house. I'm gonna go. So I rallied the troops, but by the time I got there, because I had to, you know, get my girls ready, and there was stuff to run around. By the time I got there, 11:45, the line was out the door. Literally out the door, and I'm sorry.
Chicken.
I'm not standing in line for an effing chicken sandwich for
chicken.
An hour. I'm just
no,
not
of course
doing
you're
it.
Not. So where
you
did
have
you
other
go?
Options.
So then we went to Chick-fil-A, right? And Chick-fil-A always has lines, but they do a pretty good job of managing. Mm-hmm. But I felt like I was slumming because I feel like I'm getting the uncool chicken sandwich now.
The nubs, the
I
nub
feel like
sandwich.
I'm getting the nub, the little tiny one with no meat.
Yeah.
And it just felt empty.
Zippy breast.
Regular one, huh? Did you get fried or grilled?
No, I get the grilled. I've already tasted theirs. I like the grilled. It's fine for me. So we did it, but.
Who aspires for fine? You should aspire for good.
Here's the thing. I don't even know why. Like, I don't even really care about chicken sandwiches that
chicken.
Much. I don't know what's going on in our culture where we have an obsession now with chicken sandwiches.
I don't know.
Did you bring your White Claw?
I don't. The seltzer craze either is another thing that's stupid. But I just, chicken sandwiches, people, have been around for decades.
Yeah.
If not hundreds of years. I mean, chicken sandwiches have been around for 20, 30, 40
years.
Yeah, but
this is the goat.
Okay, the new one. I get the fascination with Popeyes. It's new. It's viral. Everyone's got to try it out. It's a lemming, moronic thing to do. And throw me in the list. Lump me in with all the morons. But
well, it's a discussion. And you want to be a part of the discussion.
I just want to taste it. I want to see what the hype is about, right? So I want to do it.
I'm going to guess it tastes a lot like a chicken sandwich. That you've had before.
That's what I'm going to guess, too. But I want to try it out. Everyone's raving about it. Yeah. I'm caught up in it. But then it just overall just hits me. Chick-fil-A has this kind of line every day. Every day Chick-fil-A has this kind of line.
That's why Popeyes came up with a sandwich that is supposedly better than the Chick-fil-A sandwich because they're trying to get a piece of
business. They want to steal the market share.
I don't know how long they've been promoting this, but I noticed last night during the game, McDonald's had a chicken sandwich commercial. I don't know how long this has been out.
Chicken.
They're trying to get in on the game. We're doing a biscuit chicken sandwich. And that thing looked tasty.
Well, I think that's a breakfast offering that they've had.
Yeah, they've brought it in 1,000 times.
No, with the biscuit and then the fried chicken?
Yes, Ricky.
Okay, but it looked like they were trying to horn in on the action.
Just Eric, why don't you go on the way home today? 10:30.
To be honest with you, I want to do it with my kids.
I know.
Get them one.
Or tell them to meet you there. Doesn't Stevie drive?
I mean, I guess I could go at 10:30. I guess I could.
It's outside.
I mean, what time does it even open? It didn't even occur to me at 10:30.
I think.
Does it?
Yeah.
You'll get the first chicken sandwich of the day.
I mean, the
piping
lines.
Hot.
I mean, I'm getting pictures.
Jinx.
I'm getting pictures from people all over the area, from Fredericksburg, from Virginia, from all over. I think some guy sent me a picture from like Colorado or something.
Right. Bodie got a
like people are sending me pictures from
it's
all
ridiculous.
Over. And it's the same thing. Lines out the door.
No lie. I saw a drive-thru holding up traffic in the middle of the road because it was that long. It was extending out into the street.
Darren Revelle tweeted out yesterday they've received about $40 million in free advertising from all of this.
Yeah, it's been unbelievable. Unbelievable. And I feel like a sucker, but
CK.
Because
he lives right next door to a Popeyes.
And it's just too much traffic.
Yeah, in Delray. I think his whole neighborhood is just
going crazy.
Yeah. Stilts.
Cars all day
right.
in his neighborhood.
I mean, I'm sorry. I refuse to do it. In fact, when we went to Chick-fil-A, I sent my daughter in, my oldest daughter, and I made her stand in line. I sat in the car for 5 minutes.
Shocker.
I mean, I'm sorry. I'm not standing in line for more than 5 minutes for food. I don't like to stand.
Hey, dogs, embrace your fighting spirit with KO Distilling. KO's handcrafts award-winning bare-knuckle whiskeys and battle-standard gins at their magnificent state-of-the-art distillery right up the road in Manassas. KO co-founders and veterans Bill Carlson and John O'Mara now proudly offer a 10% military discount to all veterans and active military personnel at the distillery. So cruise over for a tasting or tour every Wednesday through Sunday. For more, visit kodistilling.com or check them out on Facebook. Remember to always drink KO responsibly.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We do it every morning right around 7:45. We're going to hook up caller number 10 at 800-636-1067 with a pair of tickets to see your Washington Nationals take on Miami September 1st at Nats Park. 106.7 The Fan and PenFed Credit Union are taking you out to the ballgame all season long, courtesy of PenFed Credit Union. Details at thefandc.com/contest. So call in now to win those Nats tickets.
All right, it is a Football Friday presented by the Sportsbook Hollywood Casino Charlestown. Every game, every bet for real sports fans. Get into the Junkies Blitz and go around the NFL.
I think I'm overdue for a trip to Charlestown to place some wagers. Some legitimate wagers, JP.
Well, I don't know what the over-under is on Eli Manning starts this year, but Daniel Jones is making a case for himself. A lot of people mock the Giants for drafting Daniel Jones, the sixth pick in the draft. Baker Mayfield mocked it this week, saying, why are they drafting the guy who's a losing record in college?
Dwayne Haskins on draft night basically intimated that the Giants should have selected him at six instead of Daniel Jones.
Well, I know preseason doesn't matter, but Daniel Jones continues to impress in the preseason. These are his final numbers through three games for the preseason. Tell me if this is good.
Okay.
25 for 30. That's completing 83% of your passes.
That is good, yes. I can confirm that.
For 369 yards, two touchdowns, zero picks, quarterback rating 140.1.
Those are borderline spectacular numbers.
Last night.
It's preseason. You don't read too much into it. Yes. But those are impressive
numbers.
Are
those numbers against ones or are they against twos?
I think it's been a combination.
You think one of those or you're guessing?
No, I remember he started one of the games. I would imagine that was the ones, but you never know who was playing. And then Eli's had very limited work, so I would imagine that he's played against some ones.
He's certainly building some momentum. It sounds like it's only a matter of time before it takes Eli, and probably this year.
Eli was 4 for 8 for 41 yards. He had a drive which resulted in a field goal, but he hasn't played much. I did like what the head coach Shurmur said yesterday, because people keep asking him about Daniel Jones, and he said he wants to hear from all those people who are grilling the pick now.
Right. Those people are nowhere to be found.
He's like, because people are saying that they're surprised by how well he's playing, and he's saying, well, us, the Giants, we're not surprised. That's why we picked him number six.
Look, it's preseason, but give them credit. Through the preseason stretch, he's been impressive. See if that translates to regular season success.
There is a quarterback battle in Miami. They're going to be one of the worst teams in football. But apparently, Josh Rosen, who, you know, you just hear these different reports, like Brian Flores has a long ways to go, but he really impressed people yesterday, led them on a 99-yard touchdown drive against the Jaguars. His overall numbers, not that great, 5 for 7 for 59 yards, but I saw some of the highlights. He was moving around in the pocket great. One of them, he kind of escapes some pressure, throws it about 35 yards downfield in between two defenders. Like, he has ridiculous arm talent.
Hmm.
So we'll see what happens there. Fitzpatrick was 12 for 18 for a buck 26 and a touchdown. He likely will start the season as the starter. For the Jaguars, they were hyping up Josh Allen, a rookie defensive end, who apparently had 4 tackles in the game, 2 for a loss, a couple of quarterback hits. So he may be making some noise on the defensive end for the Jags. Last night you had an interesting game where there was an 80-yard field on a 100-yard field. We talked about it. The Raiders played the Packers. Derek Carr's not playing in the preseason, so you're not really getting a true taste of what the Raiders are going to be. Antonio Brown wasn't there, but Nathan Peterman lit it up in the preseason. A couple touchdown passes for Peterman. He, of course, is competing for that backup job with Mike Glennon in Oakland.
I guess the NFL thought it was a good idea to have a preseason game in Canada and to charge more for an NFL preseason game than they charge for Grey Cup tickets,
really,
which is the championship game for the CFL. Big surprise, the place looked like a dirty bomb had gone off in the stadium, and nobody was there.
That's how it looks in most of these preseason stadiums.
In Mercedes-Benz Stadium last night?
Yeah. Looked like a bomb went off. Yeah.
So many empty seats in Atlanta for the Skins-Falcons game.
Yeah.
Maybe the biggest story emerging from last night's preseason game in the NFL is Cam Newton left the Carolina Panthers game against the Patriots with an ankle injury, but he left in a walking boot.
Yeah, it's never a good sign when you're basically 2.5-3 weeks away from the season opener. Bad news, and hopefully he's able to recover and be there week one.
Now, they say that it doesn't appear to be a serious injury, but when you're in a walking boot, I would say somewhat serious. Tom Brady did play for the Patriots, was 8 for 12 for 75 yards, looked efficient as always.
What a machine. Just a machine. I mean, we're going to see some slippage. We may not fall off a cliff the way our guy thinks.
Max Kellerman.
But still playing at a super high level.
And another impressive performance by Trace McSorley for the Ravens.
Love that.
Goes 19 for 28 for 203 yards and two touchdowns. Also ran for a touchdown.
That's
so
awesome.
Contributed three touchdowns. Baltimore wins again in the preseason. They just don't lose in the preseason. You got to go back to 2015 to see their last preseason loss.
You don't know who caught a touchdown for the Ravens, EB. Former Redskins standout wide receiver, Michael Floyd.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Nice.
It was a silly throw, too.
And Valdez's guy, Miles Boykin, had a grab for 44 yards.
He had a 44-yard catch, and then their first-round pick, Marquise Hollywood Brown, apparently impressed, had three catches for 17 yards, but they say he was open all the time, his quickness, very, you know, can cut.
Valdez's pants got a little tighter for some of the highlights.
I am quietly confident in them this year.
Yes.
So Lamar Jackson didn't play. On the other side, Carson Wentz isn't going to take a preseason snap. By the way, you can go through the list. Carson Wentz not taking a preseason snap. We mentioned Derek Carr, Aaron Rodgers. There's so many guys that just aren't playing in the preseason that are, you know, expected to be star quarterbacks.
Josh McCown is lighting up.
Josh McCown, they just signed him like 3 days
ago.
He's
40.
He came in. I think this is his ninth NFL team.
Yeah.
17 for 24 for a buck 92 and two touchdowns.
You know what he is? A great backup. Yeah. He is a perfect type of backup that you want on your roster in case Carson Wentz isn't fully recovered or suffers an injury. That's the guy you want. Like Colt McCoy, great backup. Not a guy you want as your starter for 16 games.
So Valdez told me about 15 minutes ago that this is the year and no one's paying attention.
Okay.
The Ravens are going to win the Super Bowl.
You know who else was saying that last night? Joe Theismann on the Skins broadcast. Not that they're going to win the Super Bowl.
Joe said that?
I think he was basically saying that the Ravens come out of the AFC.
I watch a lot of Ravens games.
We know.
Yes. And I can just see it.
Oh, you're a Sice.
I saw 2012.
Calm down, it's just sports. IJS.
I saw 2012 coming.
Yeah.
This is the year.
Oh,
I'm throwing my stones out there.
It sounds like
all
it.
All right.
Wait till Lamar Jackson gets carted off the field in week seven.
I know you want to see that and everything, but no. I'm telling you.
And it's traced to the rescue.
I'm telling you.
Not RG3. Sleeping on.
That's true.
They're going to be very explosive.
Trace is probably already better than Robert.
I mean, I'm buy stock right now.
Buy.
Yeah. Like it's truly. like it's my Sam stock.
Oh, my God. That's Sam Adams stock. It hit like 440.
You think I'm crazy and everything, but I'm telling you.
You're on to something.
Yes. And you can replay this when they're like 0-6. Right. But yeah. I'm telling you.
Oh, we will if that happens. Trust us.
What are the odds? What are the futures?
I think you mean for wins?
No, to win the Super Bowl.
What do you think is the strength of the team, by the way?
Well, it's
speed.
Football,
No. The strength is their secondary. Their secondary is the best in the league.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think their running game is absurd.
It is, but
with Lamar Jackson, Mark Ingram, all the guys they have in the backfield,
the secondary is. I mean, their nickel corners could be starting for 31 other teams.
Uh-huh. Oh, look at he's giddy.
He is.
I like it.
You think I'm crazy.
Who do they have in week one?
Dolphins.
Well, that's a dub. Week two?
Cardinals.
Dub.
Oh, 2-0 marshmallow
start.
Soft start.
And then Bengals, and then they host the Browns.
Oh! It can be 4-0.
Minimum 3-1.
It might be 4-0. They're beating the Browns in Baltimore. I'm sorry. And those first three opponents are nubs.
Cupcake City.
Welcome to 4-0, Valdez. It's been a good first month.
Oh, he just whored you.
What is the futures number? I thought it wasn't that high.
40-1 to win the
Super Bowl. No, but what is the total?
I think it's
8.5.
8.5 or 9.
Dude, if you're that confident, we should all go in over. I like a good bet. If you're that confident.
It's a pretty tough division, though.
The 4-0 start.
I am very realistic about
the division. You've got Cleveland, who's on the come. You've got the Titans, who they're not great, but they always find a way to finish, you know, like 8-8, 9-7, that sort of thing. And then you got Steelers.
No, the Titans are not in their division.
Well, no, Titans not.
Bengals, Browns,
brain fart,
Ravens, Steelers.
Yeah.
You're throwing a team that's not even in there in the mix. You're kind of selling me.
Right? I'm selling you.
You're selling me.
I like the over the 8.5. I like the 8.5. You're that confident? I like the
I'm
over
very
the 8.5.
And usually I'm very realistic about
look,
stuff.
I'm not a big sports gambler. Let's just put 50 on the over on the 8.5.
He's so confident.
Sam will give you
a break.
Sam will give you 8. He's always trying to get action from everyone on the radio.
No, I'm not betting that's against true. Him. I'm betting over.
I know. He likes doing it.
So he'll bet under?
Yeah.
He won't do that.
He just wants action.
No, I'll find somewhere where I could get 8.5.
All right.
I got 50 on it.
All right, coming up next.
Like all based on your prognostication.
On my heart,
so. Their third opponents, they're at the Chiefs.
Oh, at Chiefs?
Yeah, it's a little tougher. It's a little tougher.
I had them at potentially 4-0. Now they might be 2-2.
All right, coming up next, as he does every Friday, we'll talk to best-selling author John Feinstein. It's Fridays with Feinstein on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.